You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kiwis in the workforce that are suffering from burnout don't realise it or can't assess how severe it is. In AUT's Wellbeing at Work study, it was found that 35% of respondents experienced severe burnout, and worryingly, some respondents who are experiencing high levels of burnout indicated themselves as having low to modest burnout levels. I spoke to Jared Haar, Professor of Human Resource Management at AUT, who led the Wellbeing at Work study. So your research shows that a lot of Kiwis don't realise that they're burnt out. So how can we self-diagnose? What signs should we be looking out for?
Yeah, so there's four components of being burnt out. So one is, the easiest one's exhaustion. So I always use the example, if you wake up at the start of the day and you're exhausted, that's a good indication that you've got this kind of high level of exhaustion. Being tired at the end of the day is quite natural. Obviously, the start of the day is not a good one. Mental distance is the second one. So this is where we just don't actually think our job has much value or worth, and we kind of doubt the significance of why we're doing it. The other two are a little bit more trickier to kind of self-identify. Emotional impairment, that's when we can't control our emotions at work. So, for example, maybe you end up bursting into tears for no reason, or maybe going hot-headed and kind of exploding and over the top, and people go, wow, that's not how you normally react. What's going on? So that's kind of the emotional impairment side. Cognitive impairment is when we're, mentally we're forgetful, maybe we lose track, or we're highly distracted, those kind of things. That one in particular, if my brain isn't functioning at 100%, it's hard to kind of self-diagnose, right? Because it's actually working against you. And so I guess one of my findings here that is, as the burnout level has kind of increased over the last couple of years, I tried this random experiment to see if people could self-diagnose. And some can, but a lot probably aren't quite on the money. And so it's probably a good thing to kind of, I say to people, you need to engage your friends, the family, those close to you, flatmates if you're young, and trying to get them to help identify these things and say, hey, man, are you all right? I see you kind of bursting into tears here when we talk about your work. And those might be triggers to make you go, geez, I have to reevaluate my well-being. And in which case, then it's probably time to go see a health professional.
So a lot of workers just expect burnout as a regular part of being in the workforce. Do you think this needs like a more top-down systemic approach? For example, you've been a proponent of the 4-day work week.
We should definitely not expect burnout to be a norm, right? Burnout used to be kind of one of those things that was particularly prevalent in those kind of, front-facing roles like health professionals, but also things like, finance workers who might be working horrendously long hours, things like that. But it is becoming far more prevalent across a whole range of professions. And again, it used to be seen as more the professional workers thing, and now we'll see lots of blue-collar workers burning out because they're working like 60-hour-a-week jobs, and maybe multiple jobs. I think things like the 4-day work week could really help refocus. And the big thing behind the 4-day work week is this 180-100 model, 100% of pay, 80% of time, and it's this 100% of productivity, because the reality is workplace research tells us we do spend more than 50% of our work day not working. In your typical office, we just get distracted, meetings, water cooler talk, those kind of things, and it just chews up lots of time. And the whole idea with that 4-day work week is trying to bring workers to be more focused on getting their work done, and the reward is they get the extra day off. And that would definitely help reduce those burnout levels.
How has the large shift to working from home impacted your findings? For example, are people finding it harder to draw a boundary between work and leisure?
Yeah, so that's exactly what I'm finding. In particular, the 5 days. So those who are working full time from home, and my last research showed that to be about, I think it was about 13%. It was actually really high. I just thought, wow, it's kind of really growing up there. Oh no, we are just under 15% working from home 5 days a week. Now they're the highest group on being burnt out. So they really have kind of blurred the work and home lives together, but not in a good way. Because what I suspect is happening, they get up early, you know, instead of showering and putting on your business clothes and commuting or driving into work before you start, you know, they just get up and start working, but probably keep working through to dinner time. And before they know it, you know, they've done a 10 or 11 hour day, you know, and 55 hours a week is kind of one of these critical points on the burnout predictors. So, you know, it just feeds into working long hours, and that feeds alas into being burnt out.
Should employers be concerned that they're going to lose employees to burnout?
Yeah, well, the other thing with burnout, my New Zealand data here, burnt out workers are 5 times more likely to quit. Now, part of me thinks that's actually possibly a useful thing because they're totally burnt out, right? And they probably do need to get away from work. So I guess the benefit here for organisations and employers about managing the well-being of your workforce is that so burnt out workers more likely to quit perform poorly. So you don't want your workforce to get to this burnt out stage because A, they'll leave, and before they leave, they won't have been doing work to a high standard anyway. So it's way more beneficial for the organisation to look at the workforce, put their finger on the pulse of the workforce and say, gee whiz, maybe we're trying to do a little bit too much here at the moment, and maybe it's about trying to prioritise kind of key work and maybe ignoring some of the low-level stuff and just saying, hey, let's have for the rest of April a little bit more of a kind of lower workplace pressure, just to give workers the chance to kind of, you know, especially with Easter coming up, to give them a chance to recover and be able to kind of manage their mental health better.
That was Jared Haar, Professor of Human Resource Management at AUT, who led the Wellbeing at Work study.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.